Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. I'm Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. But truth be told, we do face a number of challenges when it comes to aging, especially those issues around peri and postmenopause. So that's why today's show promises to be incredibly helpful. Our guest, Dr. Stephanie Falbian, is the director of Mayo Clinic Center for Women's Health and is chair of the Department of Medicine at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. She also serves as the medical director for the North American Menopause Society. So boy, are we extremely fortunate to have such an expert share all about her just released book. And believe me, I am calling it my new health Bible, but it's actually entitled The New Rules of Menopause, A Mayo Clinic's Guide to Perimenopause and Beyond. I know all of you listeners out there are going to be as interested in this topic as I am and can't wait to hear your sage advice. So welcome, Dr. Falbian.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, and I want to start out, we had a chance to talk before we went on air, but I am going to reiterate a little of my gushing because this book is filled with, it's not only practical, but there's helpful and truly cutting-edge information. And what meant a lot to me, too, is your writing style. It's like talking to a friend who actually knows what they're talking about. So I wanted to congratulate you on this important, comprehensive, and really readable guide to menopause.
Well, thanks so much. That was exactly our goal, is to make it approachable and comprehensive for women so that they have something to guide them through this universal life transition.
And you're right, it is a universal life transition for sure for those of us who are lucky enough to make it to this age. And I love the way you've organized the book. So let's start out with you telling us a little bit of, you know, an overview of the book itself and how it's organized and a little about each of the three parts of the information you cover.
Yes, thanks for that. Well, we have three parts. So part one is actually understanding menopause, kind of what is it, the body changes from head to toe, talking about perimenopause, also what is premature menopause, and, you know, really kind of reviewing some of the diverse experiences that women may have as they go through menopause. So there are cultural differences, and your lived experience of menopause may be very different from the person in the office next to you. Part two is managing it. So we talk about all the ways to manage symptoms, including hormone and non-hormone treatments and also holistic and integrative therapies. We talk about specifically different symptoms and how to manage those, like hot flashes, mood symptoms, sleep issues, sexual health concerns, and pelvic floor things. And then in the last part of the book, we talk about owning it and looking ahead. So this is really about the last chapter, and actually which is about a third to a half of our lifespan as women. But how do you move forward, and how do you live your best life, and how do you remain healthy going forward? So we talk about body image, we talk about weight management, breast care, heart and bone health, the brain changes that occur with aging, and really how to take care of yourself going forward.
Well, and that part was especially interesting to me, and I want to get into that more in a little bit, but I'm going to bring you back a little to the introduction that you put in, because you mentioned the fact that until fairly recently, the topic of menopause was virtually unspoken about, and Gail Sheehy, the author who wrote that famous book Passages, also wrote a book in the 1990s entitled Silent Passage, and of course this was about menopause. And also, as an early boomer, and a number of people in my audience are, I think we were the first to kind of bring it out of the closet, but we were the guinea pigs for hormone replacement therapy. So can you tell us a little about some of the new methods for addressing some of these less pleasant aspects of perimenopause?
So actually, this is an interesting discussion because we've come full circle and we are back to recommending hormone therapy as the first-line therapy for management of symptoms. So we no longer call it replacement therapy, and this is an important distinction because we're not actually trying to replace what the ovary used to make, because that would be trying to put you back to premenopausal state, and that's not the goal here. We know that it actually requires a fairly low dose of estrogen to be able to manage symptoms. So putting this in perspective, a birth control pill used before menopause has roughly four to five times the dose of hormone therapy of hormones than postmenopausal regimen does. So a postmenopausal regimen is actually a very low dose and doesn't even come close to giving you what the ovary used to make. So we're back to the benefits of hormone therapy outweigh the risks for the majority of women with symptoms who are under the age of 60 and within 10 years of menopause onset. So in the last 20 years, we have come full circle and are really now recommending this as first-line therapy.
That is so fascinating. And I want to also mention that, again, I'm in my 70s, and a lot of the listeners to this podcast are, you know, older boomers. But my daughter is in her late 40s, and she's experiencing issues of perimenopause. And this is such a great kind of a mother-daughter bonding thing is your book.
Oh, that's awesome. I haven't thought about it in that way, but I love it.
Yeah, really, because it's a win-win for all of us. And again, the fact that it is so comprehensive, and you do talk about all of these cutting-edge strategies and information, I think is great. Because, we did not have the benefit of all the new technology and the new breakthroughs that people have been, or that the medical field has been making. So it's wonderful that our daughters can take advantage of some of these things.
Completely agree. And honestly, we think that women starting around the age of 35 should be reading this book because, as I stated, you know, menopause symptoms can start up to 10 years before menopause onset, and anything after age 45 is considered normal for menopause. So that means we need to be addressing the 35-year-olds and making sure that they're educated on what can happen and what they can do about it.
Wow, absolutely. Well, I am going to head back to the part three because, again, that's the one I related to the most, of course. And I did want to ask you a little bit about your initial focus. The first part of part three deals more with the emotional, mental aspects of aging and our values and our outlook on and perceptions of how we're growing older. I want to personally applaud you for this because I think this makes the entire difference, as long as our physical health's there, and we'll talk about that too. But tell us about some of the maybe tips that you can give to help us older people look at aging in a more positive light.
Well, I think this is a cultural thing because in other cultures, aging is actually honored, right? And I think, you know, in the Western culture, sometimes it's not honored. But you know, women after menopause are our most experienced workers. They have the experience of raising families. So this shouldn't be seen as a negative. This is actually a positive. But also think of this time as kind of a reset button where women have the time and the perspective to be able to step back and say, am I spending my time how I want to? You know, am I really putting the majority of my time in things that I find valuable and I get joy from? So taking that assessment, that pie chart of where am I actually spending my time right now and what would my dream pie chart look like? Like how much time do I want to spend traveling? How much time do I want to spend with family? Doing my favorite hobby, et cetera. And if it's not aligning, then this is a great time to kind of step back and reset and making sure that what you're actually doing aligns with your values and your priorities. So I think that also helps with that positive mindset because if you're doing what you want to do and what you love to do, you're going to be happier looking forward, right? But also we can talk about this more. It takes maintaining your physical health too.
That is exactly what I want to go to now. But I also want to mention, too, I think part of aging, for those of us who are lucky enough to be able to do that, a lot of times we also have more discretionary time to do what we want to do, and oftentimes,
yes,
hopefully, funds to be able to travel or do some things that we may have wanted to do for years. So, yes, now let's get on to, I know we've only got a couple minutes left, but a really important part of our value, and that is maintaining our physical health.
Yes, so looking forward, you know, the number one killer of women is heart disease. It remains heart disease, has been heart disease, and it will take about a third of us. So we really need to make sure that we're controlling our risk factors for cardiovascular disease and that you know your numbers, like your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your cholesterol numbers, and that you're doing things to maintain your cardiovascular health, which, by the way, also translates to brain health, but that is maintain a healthy weight. It is exercise on a regular basis. It's get enough sleep. Sleep is incredibly important to your physical and your mental health. But it's also managing stress, all those things that you know are important for maintaining heart health are also helpful for brain health. Maintaining healthy bones as you go forward. We know that the risk of fracture goes up as you age, and having a fracture is a cause for a high morbidity and mortality afterwards. So your chances of dying the year after a hip fracture is quite high. So maintaining bone health and avoiding that in the first place, walking, regular weight-bearing exercise, making sure that as women we get about 1,200 milligrams of elemental calcium a day. What does that mean? That means a normal healthy diet plus about 2 servings of dairy or dairy equivalent a day. So it could be soy milk in your coffee or it could be yogurt. And then making sure that your vitamin D level is in the normal range. So those are just some of the things that you can do. You should have your bone density checked by the age of 65. And before that, if you have risk factors, like you had a parent who broke a hip or you're on medications that thin out your bones. So there's a lot of things that we can do to remain healthy as we get older, both physically and mentally.
Wow, Dr. Fabian. Well, I know our listeners just got a big dose of some of the information they can find in this incredible book, and you're so generous with your time and information. I want to thank you so much for being on Feisty Side of 50. And also, before we leave, though, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience before we need to close?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And as you stated, this can be a multi-generational book. So for your listeners who do have children who are younger and even down to the age of 35, I would say this could be a good resource. But again, living your best life after menopause is incredibly important because, again, we're going to probably spend close to half of our lifespan after menopause, and so there are lots of tips for remaining healthy, even for the demographic that you have. So thanks for having me.
Well, this has been a real delight for me, Dr. Fabian. I was looking forward to this. And to the mother-daughter, who would have thunk it? The mother,
right? I love that.
Bond over menopause.
I think that's fantastic. Thank you for that.
Well, and also your information has been so valuable. Of course, your expertise and your insights into this all-important topic have been very helpful. Thanks again, Dr. Fabian. And for you listeners out there, please check out Dr. Fabian's book. Again, the title is The New Rules of Menopause, A Mayo Clinic Guide to Perimenopause and Beyond, because it's going to provide a valuable roadmap for both you and your daughters around managing perimenopause and menopausal issues, and for us, ensuring our health and well-being throughout our later years. So until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio. I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.